Germany underwent denazification after World War II. Not so Italy. It is still filled with buildings and street names that evoke its 20-year dictatorship under Benito Mussolini. A century after fascists took power, NPR's Silvia Poggioli reports a new website maps monuments and plaques that commemorate his regime.
Cinema Troisi is an art movie house in central Rome. Its white, minimalist facade contrasts with the ornate 19th-century buildings nearby. It was built in 1933 as the headquarters of the fascist youth organization. But there's no plaque explaining its link to the dictatorship. Young people milling around the lobby cafe seem indifferent to the building's fascist origins, including 20-year-old Christian Carrere, who works here.
It's evolution. A building is born as a structure, but inside its purpose can change. For example, first it's a butcher shop, and 2 years later it becomes a discotheque.
Across town, a fascist-era sports center has become a skateboarder's paradise. Young men swoosh and twirl on log slabs of marble and mosaic pavement that glorify the fascist regime, such as Mussolini's slogan, "Many enemies, much honor," and large M's for his name. Looming over the mosaics is a 57-foot-tall obelisk. Built in 1932 to mark the regime's 10th anniversary, the inscription is Mussolini Dux, Latin for leader.
I think it's really tacky.
Tacky.
Yeah, so kitsch. No, cheesy. Yeah.
Nelly Porco, who's been training for a marathon in the sports center nearby, is annoyed more by the obelisk's design than its historical meaning. In fact, most Italians ignore the history of the obelisk, the mosaics, and the bigger-than-life male nude statues encircling the sports center, says historian Lucia Ceci.
Perché è come se fosse diventato parte del paesaggio.
It's as if they've become part of the landscape. While they are very shocking, and rightly so, for foreigners, tourists, journalists, and diplomats.
Ceci is one of the coordinators of a new website that maps Italy's monuments, plaques, and street names commemorating fascism. Started 7 years ago, the project is backed by the Ferruccio Parri Research Institute in Milan, named after an anti-fascist partisan. The project was inspired by debates in other countries, including the U.S., over how to treat monuments glorifying colonialism and slave owners. Ceci and her fellow researchers do not call for the destruction of fascist-era monuments, but want to add explanatory plaques that contextualize their origins.
Altrimenti continua a passare.
Otherwise, the message continues to be that fascism brought modernity to the city, hiding the dictatorship, the persecutions, the discriminations, and the war.
In 1935, before a crowd of thousands, Mussolini announced the invasion of Ethiopia and heralded Italians as a nation of heroes, saints, poets, artists, navigators, colonizers, and travelers. Nearly 90 years later, those words remain inscribed on a building halfway between Rome and the sea. At the top of a long flight of steps stands what was once known as the Palace of Italian Civilization. It was built to celebrate Italy's conquest of Ethiopia, says historian of fascism Marla Stone.
It's very much a celebration of war, conquest, and empire, and the idea that fascism was going to expand and spread its message of nationalism, of strength, of masculinity. It's a very heavy masculine building.
With 416 arches and statues celebrating concepts such as heroism, philosophy, and political genius, today it's known as the Square Colosseum. And since 2015, it's been global headquarters of the Fendi Fashion House. Historian Marla Stone laments that by not challenging the history of these monuments, the memory of fascism has been smoothly integrated into the Italian present.
They're now seen as part of the Italian heritage. There's the ancient Roman monuments, there are the Renaissance monuments, there are the Baroque palaces, and then we have the heritage of fascism.
One reason why post-fascist Italy did not remove the traces of the dictatorship might be there were simply too many buildings and the country too poor to rebuild them. In 2017, American historian Ruth Ben-Ghiat wrote a piece for The New Yorker magazine asking, why are there so many fascist monuments still standing in Italy? She received sacks of hate mail from Italians accusing her of ignorance, unable to appreciate what they claimed was the aesthetic value of fascist architecture. Many Italians feel disconnected to fascism, says Ben-Ghiat, and the Allies, the United States and Britain mainly, are the reason.
They were very worried about social unrest if they pursued very harsh amnesties or purges.
Ben-Ghiat says the Allies sometimes covered up fascist paintings with cloth rather than destroy them. Many Italians had joined the anti-fascist resistance during the war, and the post-war Communist Party was one of the strongest in Europe.
It was the Cold War, and they decided to treat Italy as Italians as a good people who were led astray by a bad man.
But Ben-Ghiat's article also inspired historian Lucia Ceci and her fellow researchers to pursue the project of mapping fascist monuments. When the website went public in November, it had identified 1,400 of them. Ceci believes that's about one half the monuments existing throughout the country. In fact, visitors to the website are asked to suggest additional listings. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.